You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 57 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, February 4th, 2009. I am Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are your weekly hosts for a conversation about technology and ministry. Good morning, Sally.
Hey, Martin. How are you this morning?
I am okay. We have to, first of all, apologize to our listeners for the delayed posting of this podcast. Those of our hardcore listeners probably woke up this morning expecting that the podcast would be on their iPod or whatever it is that they sync overnight, because we publish this usually about 5 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, but due to some medical issues I was going through and some testing and so forth, we had to delay it for a day. So we're actually recording this on the same day you will be able to download it. So very timely. So one of the medical procedures, Sally, I had was some wisdom teeth extracted, and those people that have had that know kind of what's involved with that. So if I mumble, just ask me to enunciate clearly, and if I say anything stupid, you'll know why, because I have 3 less wisdom teeth in there. Actually, they're all gone. I had one gone about 10 years ago now. The rest of them are all history as well.
I got rid of mine around 20 years old, and I don't envy you going through that process. Oh, not a fun thing.
No kidding. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. A few people, including my wife, were not born with any wisdom teeth.
So yeah, that's a
very
blessing,
fortunate.
Huh?
Yes, very fortunate.
Yeah. Well, we had an exciting Sunday this past Sunday in Sleepy Eye. I just have to give a shout out to the MLC Men's Choir. Ah. They came and were part of our worship for both services this past Sunday. And boy, was it awesome.
Very cool.
Just a real thrill. And when they closed the service with "Lord, when in your glory I shall see," I just felt like it was a taste of heaven. It was just a really wonderful blessing
Great
for us.
Great funeral hymn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really nice.
In your church, you've got pretty good acoustics there. I would think that would have sounded awesome there.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Very good. If anybody gets a chance to have any of our choirs out, whether they be prep or any of the prep schools or our high schools or our seminary, just a great experience to hear those guys sing, and gals in some cases. So
definitely.
So, Sally, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're heading back to our book that we've been looking at over the last several months, Here Comes Everybody, written by Clay Shirky. It's an interesting book. You and I both took the time to read it, and we felt like it was worthy of discussion here on the podcast, just kind of looking at this world, this changing world that we're living in, and taking it the next step from the book and applying it to ministry efforts.
Yep. So the power of organizing without organizations. And again, just a preface to the book, it's not specifically written for ministry conversations or for ministry purposes. Clay Shirky is a research scientist of sorts and a sociologist, so he looks at sociology and things like this for a living. And I believe he's, at the University of New York or someplace out there. And he's written for lots of different things. But I think some of the concepts in the book are helpful to us as we think about technology and how that relates to ministry. And that's kind of why we got kind of attached to the book, and then what we hope to then share with everybody that's listening. So I think there are some valuable lessons. And this chapter in particular, we're on chapter 3, I think has some real good relevant concepts that are probably worthy of our conversation.
Absolutely. I'll have links in the show notes to the previous conversations on chapters 1 and 2, but this chapter 3 is the one that really hooked me as I was reading the book, and just really sunk me into this concept of the socialization aspects of the Web 2.0 world. And, mm-hmm. and the title of this chapter is Everyone's a Media Outlet. And boy, you know, I think we both could testify to the fact that we're seeing an explosion of communication via the web.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked before about my Facebook friend list growing and getting in contact with people that I haven't heard from in 25 years since high school and all that kind of thing. And that's just a little microscopic look at everyone having a voice out in this Web 2.0 world.
Mm-hmm. And he does mean everyone, and that's for the good and the bad. He talks about the positives of that and the negatives. He one of the premises of this particular chapter is what he calls mass amateurization. What does he mean by that, Sally?
Well, I think what we're looking at is a shift from professionals who have standards of quality and things associated with their work, particularly in the journalism area. Mm-hmm. He focuses a lot on that. To everyday people having the ability to do the same thing that professionals have had this set apart ability in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So just putting the power in the people of everybody in everyone's hands, the power in the people's hands, basically, to self-publish is the big push.
Mm-hmm. He talks a little bit about that evolution, and he uses a couple of different stories. One he talked about was I don't know if it was his father or a relative, I don't remember at this point, a local newspaper publisher who really felt displaced when concepts like the USA Today came along and basically put some of those locals out of business. And one story that you've talked a lot about as we've had conversations about the book, Sally, is the scribes. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about his illustration of the scribes and how that relates to what we're talking about here with mass amortization.
Right, Martin. Back in the day before there was printing presses, Gutenberg invented the printing press, the work of copying books was done by an elite class of people, the scribes of that
mm-hmm.
time. And so when the printing press came along, basically their work became obsolete. He lays out the story pretty interestingly, talking about that transition time when the scribes were still kind of fighting for their place mm-hmm. in that workflow and that kind of thing. So just a really interesting concept and change that occurred and kind of that flux state in the middle when everything was settling into being dependent on the printing press instead of the scribes. And that's, I guess, where we are. We're kind of in the middle of this process where we've looked to these media outlets that had the power to publish in the past as being the source of all of our information. And now everyone has the power to publish, and so we're kind of trying to figure out how that's all going to play out.
Yeah, absolutely. I jotted down a couple quotes here that I thought were interesting in this particular chapter. One was, the internet means you don't have to convince anyone else that it's something that something is a good idea before trying it. And boy, is that true. We think about what you can't do on the internet. It's almost carte blanche. If you wanted to write about something, post a video, promote a cause, all of those things are possible now in a very inexpensive and cheap way as far as getting that message out. You just need an audience, and that's one of the challenges I think that we're talking about here.
Right. I think you and I probably have both, and probably all of our listeners, have experienced some really quirky websites and strange things that are out there, but people are investing their time in mm-hmm. Building all this content out on the web, and it ranges from A to Z. You can find just about anything there.
Yep. And this podcast is an example. We couldn't have done this or reached the audience that we're reaching now with the technology that existed, you know, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And now it's very easy and inexpensive for us to have this conversation and publish it and have people respond. So we are, in essence, we have our own radio show, per se, and that was obviously impossible not too long ago. Would have been cost prohibitive. We wouldn't have had the technology or even the knowledge of how to even begin.
Right, but I'm sure our listeners don't consider us the quirky, strange
thing. You'd be surprised.
Disclaimer.
That's right. Let us know if you do, and we'll try. Well, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. So,
yeah.
Another quote was, an individual with a camera or a keyboard is now a nonprofit of one. That's interesting, too, when you think about the advent of YouTube and the ability to quickly make yourself look bigger than you are. You have the ability to publish and to be a videographer and to really get your message out there in ways that you never could before for a cause. You know, we have a cause. We're essentially a nonprofit. Our cause is to help our listeners figure out how best to use technology in ministry context. But there's all kinds of other causes out there. And one of the things that hits close to home for all of our listeners is, how does the church or the school use this self-publishing concept to their benefit? So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about self-publishing benefits. I think in my mind, there's a number of them. And I'm just talking about individuals at this point. So anybody can get a blog. You can go to blogger.com or wordpress.com or any of these. They're all free. You can self-publish. And I think one of the nice things that's come out of the advent of the blog for the Christian is I kind of associate it with journaling. And I've tried journaling off and on over the years, and I think it's a very good approach to a Christian's look at their life and their relationship with God, and that's a good thing, especially when you're focusing on things that matter, like our life in Christ.
Right, and we're not talking about just bloggers who are blogging about their church life or, mm-hmm. you know, who are pastors or teachers or whatever. We're talking about everyday Christians who let their light shine through the words that they write there.
Right.
And so, you know, I read several blogs. One in particular I know is related to crafting and stamping, rubber stamping and that kind of thing. But I know that this lady personally, she's a wonderful Christian lady, a member of one of our Wells congregations in Wisconsin, and she definitely lets her light shine. And, mm-hmm. and she's reaching out, you know, across who knows who her audience is, because it's her stamping buddies that mm-hmm. she's actually talking to, but she's intermixing all of her conversation on her blog with her faith, and that's just really exciting to see.
Yeah, why check your faith at the digital door of the internet? People should know who you are and what's important to you by everything that you do, whether it is in the conversation at the grocery store or a discussion board on rubber stamping, right?
That's right.
It's an opportunity to be real. Go ahead, Sally.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, but does that, you know, offer us reason to be concerned? You know, can we mess up?
Yeah, and I think there are certainly circumstances where there may be reason for concern that, you know, from a pastor's perspective, that their members can publish. You know, they have ideas about theology. They have questions, concerns. They maybe share their view of the Bible, and maybe that's not right in line with what they were taught in confirmation class or what's being taught in Bible class, or parroting something that they've heard on a Sunday morning sermon. They may not be doing that. So what if they're wrong?
Yeah, I think there's a fine line there, and I guess they're representing themselves personally, and, you know, certainly aren't a representation of a particular congregation or a church body or whatever, and what they do with their private writings mm-hmm. or publications on the web. And we're all called to personally share that gospel message, and on a personal basis, then we may make mistakes, but the Lord's going to bless our efforts. You know, we're going to, if we're doing it for the right reasons or whatever, then it's going to work out for the best for mm-hmm. those who read it. But, you know, just drawing that distinction between the fact that they're not called into the public ministry and speaking on behalf of a congregation or a church body.
Mm-hmm. Yes and no. I think sometimes that could be viewed in that way. And what's kind of neat about the ability to self-publish, being also a member of a confessional church body, it gives you another channel. It gives you an opportunity to share what you believe. And that's all the more reason that we as members of our churches need to be aware of, you know, why we believe what we believe. Because when you start having those conversations on the internet and with people that you meet in your digital life, you're going to have many opportunities to say why you believe that this is right or this is wrong or this is why I do what I do. And that's a challenge to you. You really need to know why. It's not just something that you go along happily not knowing. You just say, well, I believe whatever my church believes. You have to defend that. And I think that's a confessional stance that is important, that each Christian of our churches needs to be aware of and be prepared to do. So I think there's great opportunity there.
An opportunity for personal growth is what you're describing.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and if our congregations are smart about it, they're providing avenues for their members to ask those kinds of questions of their pastor or of somebody who can help them along if they're having these conversations. There's many resources on wells.net. Our Q&A is a great example of that. When you're looking for answers to some of these tough questions about abortion or gay rights or, you know, who knows, whatever the conversation, wherever the conversation goes online, it could go anywhere. A lot of those answers are out there, and good information is available to help you confess, you know, what that what your stance would be. So ministry, let's get down to really brass tacks here, Sally. When we're talking about this this Here Comes Everybody concept and that everybody can self-publish, what are the ministry applications? Well, one that comes to my mind immediately is that, and it's kind of a bad news scenario, is that there's a lot of noise out there. So when you self-publish, everybody else is self-publishing as well. So when the church and its members self-publish and get the word out there and evangelize and share what's great about their relationship with God and the wonderful things that he's doing in their church and their lives, there's a chance that nobody's listening.
That's right, Martin. And, you know, you're also competing with a lot of very negative messages mm-hmm. as well. And so the internal conscience might say, you know, why bother? Mm-hmm. Or there's nobody's going to listen. Mm-hmm. There's too much negativity out there and that kind of thing. But I think I'm remembering a communication conference that I attended back in 2004. And I remember a speaker saying the conversation is going to happen. The Web 2.0 world is here and people are going to be talking, and you can either choose to be part of it or you can stand on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. So by not voicing, then maybe we're letting that negative message have more prevalence out there. You know, I think it's important to be part of the conversation.
Sure. The good news is that our congregations are made up of many people. So you don't just have one voice, one small voice. You have many voices. So your digital, let's call it the digital evangelism pool, just grew by X, you know, whatever your membership is. That's the potential. And that's really what I think a lot of our congregations are beginning to see. And they've seen, I guess, for a long time as far as trying to mobilize the congregation to be evangelists, all of them sharing their faith, bringing their friends, spreading the word. Now they have another channel for that online, but I think this needs to be encouraged and maybe even organized. So the smart pastor will begin to look for ways and feed tools and encouragements to their members to remember, you know, live your faith online as well. And it's not a bad thing to start a blog. You know, make sure that, you know, when you participate in these things, that your faith is not checked at the door, that you're also sharing that faith, and just another channel for outreach. But you got to remind your people, yeah, this is what you can do.
And, you know, think about the effect on the outreach budget, mm-hmm. because this is basically a free way to share your faith. And so, you know, the price is just bottomed out there. And that's one thing that Clay brings out in his book. You know, everybody can publish, and it's very cheap to do. We don't have to have a big publishing house and a lot of equipment.
It's free, and it's immediate, and it's global.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a big reach.
Mass mailing, in the old days, that was very expensive, time-consuming. Production of materials now, when you think about the technology advancements, is even cheaper. So you're saving there, but the delivery channel is even cheaper. You know, if you're thinking of the digital delivery channel. You know, I think a lot of congregations are having to rethink, a lot of schools too, rethink their strategy as far as where they're advertising. Are they advertising in the paper, in the phone book? Where are people looking for them? I know in our school in Hartford, I've heard at least three or four stories in the last month of new students coming into the school based on finding the website. They didn't find an ad in the paper. It wasn't even word of mouth. They were just searching on the internet and found our school through the website. Boy, that speaks volumes about where to put some of your marketing energy and not even a lot of dollars, but just raw energy getting your face on the internet.
Very exciting. Yes.
And maybe,
go ahead, Mark.
Maybe the last thing we can talk about ministry application of self-publishing is the impact, and perhaps the most exciting part of it, is on internal communications. Getting more people involved in your church, in ministry, in religious or theological conversations, increasing volunteerism. So as you self-publish, you're publishing your thoughts, your thinking, your ideas, your encouragements to other members. And we've talked about intranets before, and that we've talked about a couple of great tools for that, but just the ability to, you know, to open up that dialogue from member to member, pastor to member to pastor, just great opportunities that you have right within a congregation.
Absolutely. So everyone is a media outlet, and that's an exciting time to live in. I told you a while back that it reminded me of a story about my favorite author, Laura Ingalls Wilder, and how she didn't start writing her books until she was like in her 60s and 70s. But at that time, she realized the changing times that she was living in. She had gone from wagon travel to flying on an airplane by the time she was in her older years, you know. Mm-hmm. So just like Laura Ingalls, you know, we're living in an amazing time. And just to kind of take a step back and realize the changes that we're living with and how we all can have a voice to the world through these tools that we're talking about. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, each one of us needs to pray and say, God, how do you want me to use this? And hopefully that you will provide those answers and that would produce fruit. So that's chapter 3. If anybody wants to follow along, we'll be covering chapters off and on through the course of 2009. The book, again, is Here Comes Everybody by Clay Shirky, available at almost any bookstore or on Amazon. We'll put a link to it on the website. So purchase it, give a read, and follow along with us. Glad you could. Let's move on, Sally, to our picks of the week. What's your pick this week?
Okay, Martin, I found a really cool website that I wanted to share with our listeners. It's called reminderfeed.com. And basically, it's going to be good for those of us who are really using RSS feeds on a regular basis and reading our RSS feeds, because what this allows you to do is set up your own RSS feed with little reminders to yourself. Basically, you put in events. They can be open-ended or they can be for a specific date, and then you subscribe to an RSS feed. So it generates an RSS feed that you can subscribe to with your RSS reader. And then each date or when that date rolls around, you'll get an RSS feed that has the event and description that you typed into the website. So I've started using it just to remind myself of a few duties that I have. And it's kind of surprising. I'm scrolling through my RSS for the day and there's this feed, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got to do that. Uh-huh. You know, I wasn't expecting to see it there and everything, but it's nice to have just that little prod way to get things done, you know, and keep yourself on track. So if you are an RSS fan, this may be something you want to check out. It's reminderfeed.com.
So you can set the time that it reminds you or not?
I'm not sure if there's a time there, Martin. I think it's more just
whenever
a
the feed comes
date.
Through. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a loop. You set it. It goes out and then comes back at you. You know, at the appropriate time, the appropriate
That's
day.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Cool.
And it can go on and on for several days. It can remind you each day if you leave it open ended.
So it nags you.
Exactly. Sometimes I need to be nagged.
Yeah. So don't we all? So, yeah. Okay. My pick is kind of a pseudo hardware, software pick. And you'll know why when I describe it to you. This is something that I picked up a while ago called LiveScribe. LiveScribe.com is the website, but basically it is a digital pen, is probably the easiest way to describe it. Holding it here right now, obviously we're on radio, so you can't see it, but it's basically a USB pen. It's tethered. It's not tethered, so you can you recharge it with a USB connector. But basically, you take the pen, and you need a special book or paper. You can print this paper off if you like, but you can buy these books. This is all available, let's say, at your local Target. But essentially, it's a digital pen that you write on this paper, and it transcribes basically your whatever you write, and it's real ink, into digital format. That you, once you cradle the pen to your computer, it sucks in whatever you wrote on the paper, puts it on digital paper, totally searchable. It does OCR on it so that you can do searches on words that you wrote. It remembers what page you wrote it on because all these pages are coded. This is a great application for students and for people that are in meetings a lot that don't want to take in their laptops to take notes. I'm in a lot of meetings, and I don't always take my laptop. This is a real lifesaver because then I don't have to transcribe the notes myself into the computer because I can suck them right in through this pen. But it doesn't stop there. One of the neatest things about the pen is it's also a digital recorder. So if you're in a meeting, you can press a button, and while you're transcribing your notes, so you're taking notes on the meeting, it's also recording the conversation. So now I can go back after the meeting, and I can point or tap on a position in my notebook, in my paper notebook, at a word or a sentence or a bullet point that I wrote at that point, and I can hear the conversation going on that was going on at the time that I wrote that. And I can, like a regular tape recorder, I can go forward and backwards in time. I can start and stop the recording. And all of that carries through onto the computer, too, so that I can have that digital type on my computer, but I can also have the digital audio that goes along with that. And you can see why a student would love this, because when you're taking notes down furiously as a professor speaking, you may miss something. Now you can go back and have the pen or your computer play this back for you. The pen has some microphones in it and a speaker in it, so that you don't even really need the computer to play it back. Now there's a 1 gig version and a 2 gig version. The 1 gig version holds about 40 hours of conversation on it. The 2 gig is about double that, of course. The 1 gig version is $150, I think, total, which gives you the pen and a kind of a fancy notepad. Some of you that are familiar with, I think it's LeapFrog software and the FlyPen, similar concept to that, where you can draw a calculator and do calculations, and the pen will tell you what the numbers add up to. You can draw a piano, do the same thing. This is kind of the professional version that works really well for meetings, for students in classroom settings. Just a wonderful invention. I guess they've been around for a while, but I think they've finally perfected this so that it's usable. I haven't found really a downside to this, other than the pen is a little bulky. You kind of get used to the bulkiness of the pen, but other than that, great way to take notes.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around what you're describing, Martin. That's pretty amazing.
Go to livescribe.com. There's all kinds of videos on it, but it's very, very cool concept, especially if you don't want to drag a laptop into a meeting, but you still want digital notes. You almost have to see it to believe it. So,
yeah. I'm just amazed at how much we can go digital and paperless. I guess there's a paper involved in this, but you wouldn't need to save it once you've uploaded the information to your computer or whatever.
So they're totally searchable. They're working on a way. One thing that I don't like about it is it doesn't work with OneNote, and I use OneNote, Microsoft OneNote, a lot for all my notes. I've got to there, and they say they're coming out with that in a future release, but have to be able to get those notes into OneNote so they're all in one place. But just a great tool for capturing those notes, especially when you don't have access to your computer. So, LiveScribe, try it out. At least take a look at the website, see if it's for you. I think it's going to become real popular on college campuses. Maybe even in high school campuses. Now, remember, you can't do a recording without the person's permission. So there are some legalities there when you're recording a conversation. So
very good.
Shall we move on?
You bet. I'm excited to share some information from Wells.net with our listeners. I had a question. I saw a question on another listserv. We talk a lot about our WellsTech listserv, which is basically a way for a group of people to have email communication easily within the group. We have another Wells listserv called HomeNet, which is was set up specifically for those that homeschool their children. And a question came up last week about youth group resources, kind of off topic for HomeNet, but they were looking for resources for their youth group. And during the conversation, it turned to video resources. And it reminded me to share information about Streams Everyday Video Series, which is a new series being put out on our Streams Media Network from the Youth Discipleship Office. And it's basically a series of short devotional conversation starters geared toward teens. And it's very, very well done. I've watched several of these. They're done in collaboration with Wisconsin Lutheran College and just cover all different topics, living your faith, attending church, dealing with temptations, you know, depression, all kinds of things that are very relevant for today's teens. I think there's about 40 videos that have been done so far, which is just awesome, you know, just a real thorough collection of topics covered there, and enough to get you through a weekly class almost with your teens for a whole year. So I'll make sure and include links in the show notes to the Everyday Video Series. You can go out on the web and watch them, and also information about the series and the authors of the series and that kind of thing. We have a special webpage set up for that on the Living Bold website, which is our teen website. So a great resource if you're looking for something for your youth group or teen ministry. I told my husband the other day that he probably could use them for conversation starters in our adult Bible class as well. Hmm. They're just really well done.
Cool. And free.
Yes.
Very good. Community feedback is our next segment.
Yeah, and we've heard from a couple of people. I wanted to start with a message we received from Jeffrey Clark, just suggesting that we look at Lebronix software a little bit more as a future show topic. We did have Pastor Aaron Fry on last year talking a little bit about Lebronix and the People's Bible that was coming out last year, but Jeffrey was just looking for more tips and tricks for using the software. I know we have a lot of listeners that use Lebronix for their Bible study and that kind of thing. And as a matter of fact, to go along with Jeffrey's request, just saw something float through some of the email channels and things that there's a new lectionary viewer that will download with your Lebronix software update that now includes our Christian Worship and Christian Worship Supplement lectionaries.
Oh, cool.
So I had my husband show me how this worked, and basically the lectionary viewer is a kind of like a plug-in. It doesn't come standard with, especially with the older versions of the software, but I think the newer versions it does, and then you can also add it in if you have an older version. Mm-hmm. And it just allows you to seamlessly integrate the week's lectionaries selections in with your Bible study software and everything. And Christian Worship has a different lectionary than some of the others that are presented with the Lebronix software. And even our Christian Worship Supplement introduced some additional readings into the lectionary. So all of that is right there integrated with your Lebronix software. And we'll make sure and include a link to where you can get more information about that.
Very good. Thanks for the reminder, Jeffrey. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was the fact that our listserv, the WellsTech listserv, has been busy with a discussion on recycling computers. And I just love WellsTechers because they just hopped right on the topic and really shared a lot of valuable information with the original questioner. There's so many resources out there for recycling all kinds of electronics. In addition to the messages that were shared on the listserv, we also had an email from Cindy Krieger. Cindy is a member of Shepherd of the Hills in Lansing, Michigan, and she's also an employee with the state of Michigan working a lot on their web applications there in the state of Michigan. So she's just a wonderful resource for us, Martin. She's always supplying us with great links and things. And she actually tipped us off to a new program being launched at Best Buy's nationwide, where they're going to allow you to bring in your electronic equipment starting on February 15th and recycle it right there at the Best Buy stores. If it's anything with a monitor, it's going to cost $10 per monitor. monitor to recycle, but besides that, they'll pretty much take anything as far as small electronics, and they have other programs for dealing with large appliances and things like that as well. So we'll have a link in our show notes to Cindy's information about the Best Buy recycling program.
So anything with a monitor is going to cost you $10. Anything without a monitor is free.
That's correct.
Right? Okay, cool. Yeah, we struggle with that around here all the time because we're cycling through, you know, lots of different equipment, and we have paid some big money to services to take that off our hands in an appropriate way. So this may be an option for us here in the Synod office as well.
I think they have a limitation of 2 things per day per individual.
Okay.
But
we got
a lot
of individuals.
Few trips.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, great. You probably don't have a Best Buy too close to you out there.
Thanks a lot, Martin, for reminding me. Yeah.
Mankato?
We can get to Mankato. Okay. The big city of Mankato is not too far away.
All right. We have one like 3 blocks away, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks, Martin.
I wanted to remind everybody of a Wells Tech listserv question that I posed, I think it was last week, and that was on looking for advice on congregations using services that allow congregations to, or individuals in a congregation to do automated giving through credit card or through electronic bank transfers. Many of our congregations are using the online giving program from Thrivent, Simply Giving. Thrivent's actually going to be charging for that now, and I've had a couple of inquiries from interested church treasurers wondering if there are other services out there that congregations are using for this automated giving application. So if you have experience with or ideas about that particular concept, please contribute to the listserv. Give us a call, send us an email. We would love to put together a list of those kinds of options for our congregations.
Very good.
Come up next week on the Wells Tech podcast, we are going to be having an interview with Pastor Darren Lindemann. He is the person responsible for the Message from the Master series. That is a radio ministry, and they have a new website to promote that radio ministry. It's here in Milwaukee. I think it's syndicated elsewhere as well. And we're going to talk a little bit to him about how that's all put together and the impact that has had. That's been around for a long, 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 long time. Lots of great pastors share their sermons on that particular series. It's aired on Sunday morning around here on, I believe it's on WTMJ. Lots of ministry application there. So we're looking forward to that conversation with Darren. And we are going to talk, Sally and I are going to talk about web streaming again next week. The reason for that is I'm doing a presentation tomorrow at the seminary for what's called their Mission and Ministry Week. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of ways to share those videos from your congregation, whether they be sermons or Bible classes, and whether live streaming is the best way to go, or whether you do a video archive on YouTube or GodTube or all kinds of things that you can put on the internet in a video format. So tune in next week for all that stuff and more. Anything else, Sally? Did we forget anything today?
I think we covered it all, Martin.
Well, I made it through. I don't think I stumbled too badly, and if I did, I'll edit it out before we post this.
You have the power.
I have the power, yes. Let's close the show, as we always do, with a featured Wells musician. We are going through the cycle again. We're coming back to Mike Wessendorf, a local guy here who has a beautiful voice and a wonderful talent of creating music, and his album Climb the Mountain is what we'll be playing today, and the song Press On. Thanks everybody for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
There's a road beneath our feet right now. Raised to run, straining forward, don't look behind. He's called you mine, the goal to claim, a prize to win. To be with him as you approach that finish line. Bide your time, so I press on the go right now. The upward road, and although the path gets tough sometimes, it leads us home. As Jesus Christ takes hold of me, I feel at ease as citizens, his kingdom comes. Victory. won't last very long. Though sin may try to separate, don't be afraid. The Savior made his sacrifice, the debt is paid. So I press on the goal right now, the heavenward road. And although the path gets tough sometimes, it leads us home. And Jesus Christ takes hold of me, I feel at ease. As in a sense, his kingdom comes, our victory. Our feet right now, a race to run, straining forward, don't look behind. He's called you mine, the goal to claim, the prize to win, to be with him as you approach that finish line. Bide your time, so I press on the goal right now, the heavenward road. And although the path gets tough sometimes, it leads us home, as Jesus Christ takes hold of me. I feel at ease, as citizens, his kingdom comes, our victory. So I press on the goal right now, the heavenward road. And although the path gets tough sometimes, it leads us home. As Jesus Christ takes hold of me, I feel at ease, as citizens, his kingdom comes.